shore where the mountains meet the sea, in a clapboard shack by a broken down tree. There's a light in the window, just salty gals inside. I'm not sure if they're witches, but you know that's implied. Got the storytelling, ego swelling, pillow talking, moonlight walking, sea hags.
Welcome to the Sea Hags podcast. I am Katie Nordgren.
And I am Chris Jeppa. And today with us is Helena. How are you?
Hi, I'm well. How are you guys?
Good. Oh, we're good. You're hungover.
I'm a little hungover, yeah. I, like, have been being very good around self-care in the last little while, and, like, I had really bad heartburn, so I, like, wasn't drinking or anything like that. And last night I went out to see my friend Tanya Gosnak play some awesome music, some right solo on stuff, and then her band Red Herring that she sings backing vocals in are, like, so fucking good. They're nice. Amazing. They're, like, weird, proggy, like, I don't know. They're really great. And the guy has such an operatic voice, and his voice and Tanya's voice blend so perfectly together.
That sounds
so
great.
So we were just going to go see her set, and then they were so good, like, we wound up staying super
just
late.
Down.
And then, yeah, drank some whiskey in because I haven't been drinking. I really feel it, and I don't like it.
Whoopsie.
Yeah, whatever. It's all fine.
I mostly behaved myself this weekend. I'm trying to remember. I'm trying to, like, just go back. I saw a movie last night.
You did say you were
night.
Drunk at the movie theater.
Yeah, I was only, like, kind of drunk at the movie theater. Just as drunk as you want to be.
Diamonds.
I bought beautiful diamonds out of the children's vending machines. Just because, you know, I ball. And, God, what did I do on Friday? I just feel like I've kind of been up to some social stuff lately. It's been nice. It's felt like a pretty good balance. Oh, I remember what I did on Friday. This is something I did want to talk about and couldn't remember when we were doing our little pre-show chat.
Uh-huh.
I did a fitness assessment
at
a place. I finally kind of bit the bullet on getting fit on actually doing something about it instead of just being like, I'm going to do it. You just wait. And I knew you were going to do that. I was trying to just over.
Damn it.
Just to cut you off.
Damn it.
To stop your Hamiltonian.
Don't stifle me.
I won't fence you in. But I've been like, I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it for the last 2 years because I just want to have the big beefy Xena arms.
Oh, nice.
And throw around her spicy frisbee, as we've coined the term. Her chakram.
Amazing.
Her spicy frisbee. So I went to this place and it's called Strong Side Conditioning, which and it just, like, looks like a CrossFit gym because they got a big tire. And I walked in and they're like, the tire does not factor in as often as you think it does, but it is. It does play a role in the contract you sign if you sign up here. So I did this whole thing, and I did end up signing up. It's very expensive, so I was reading all the fine print. And it gets down to, like, the end of the waiver for if you die. It's like, if you die on the premises, we're going to put you into the big tire and then roll you into the Fraser River. No, not really, but this is just to check that you've read this far.
That's so funny.
It was really funny.
They brown M&M'd it.
Yeah, it's a really funny place. I just walked in and I thought I was going to be so intimidated, but there was a ton of women of all shapes and sizes in there, and just, you know, it's about a third men, and everybody's just getting beefed with their muscles and their weights, and there are superhero things all over the walls. Like, the guy who runs it's a big Marvel and Star Wars nerd, so there's just all this nerdy shit. There was a girl who's wearing, like, a full Hulk t-shirt, so, like, the Hulk's face was her tits. And everybody's just super nice to me. I was like, okay, fine, I'll sign up. It's like $270 a month. It's like personal training, and then it's self-directed, but supported. And so I'm like, I'm doing it for 3 months. I'm going to see what happens. Because I am not motivated on my own, you guys. I'm not. They took me through all of these tests to see, you know, which of my muscles are working, and if they're not, what's compensating for them. It's called neurokinetic therapy. And basically, I discovered that all my shit don't work. is pretty much the case.
No.
So they were like, oh, okay, you have, like, your adductors are pretty strong, your biceps are very strong, but your psoas muscle, which is, like, in your butt, yours doesn't work at all. Like, it doesn't turn on when you try. Like,
but Katie, you have an ass that won't quit. What's
I know
happening?
My ass gave up a long time ago, apparently. Or there's, like, compensating things, but, like, my glutes don't do anything. Apparently my diaphragm does most of the heavy lifting for my core and trunk.
Ooh.
So they're like, we're going to really work on your core. I was like, please, I'm so weak and so shitty. So they're doing these things where they're like, okay, here, I'm going to push down on your knee and you should just resist it. And I shouldn't be able to push it all the way to the table. And it would just be like a hot knife through butter. I was just like, I'm trying so hard. And it just would be no resistance whatsoever. They're like, wow. I was like, yeah, it's pathetic, isn't it? They're like, it's pretty pathetic. We're going to fix you, I promise.
That's so nice.
So it's really, like, a nice, supportive environment. So I was, even though it's really, really spendy,
mm-hmm.
just like, okay, nothing works and I'm depressed and why not just throw some money at this problem
with support,
if I can.
That's great.
Yeah.
Because otherwise you can get a gym membership and have it for 3 years.
And just never go.
And never go.
Yeah. And spend probably more than that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly. But this is 3 months, and if I don't want to stay, I don't have to, and they don't keep billing me for a million years. So
that's good.
So fingers crossed that 3 months from now I come in and you can hear the muscles in my voice. It's like, hello, yes, it is me, Katie.
Why do you become French when you're muscly?
That wasn't supposed to be French. It was supposed to just sound like a bear was talking. I was going to have a Russian accent because everybody's always telling me that I look like Zarya from the game Overwatch.
Nah.
Yeah. And she's like this, yeah. She's suddenly Swedish. She's this super muscly chick with short pink hair and an eyebrow scar. And she can apparently bench press 512 kilograms.
Wow.
She is a cartoon.
That's pretty hot.
She can't actually.
She's got short pink hair.
You've seen her before?
Yeah, well, I was reading about her. I was reading about Overwatch fans being like, really excited about new characters. And they gave a little bit, and
I think it would be really fun to just, you know, run around being like, hello, I'm a giant Russian lady. That's not an accent at all that I'm doing. I just want to stop this whole segment and re-record it, but we won't.
So we'll call the segment Suddenly Swedish.
Fuck. That's amazing.
You said it.
Suddenly Swedish. It's like my biography's title. Katie Nordgren. Suddenly Swedish.
Helena, how was your week?
It was a roller coaster week.
Yeah.
Because I'm getting over a cold or a sinus infection. I was really sick. But then I had a flurry of activity right at the end of that. So
a flurry.
A real flurry. And my last day of antibiotics was like the last day before all of these events. So
oh,
then
fun.
I was up till like 2 in the morning. Well, not quite 2, maybe like just shy of it. Finishing and then up at some stuff. Until now. So I'm definitely gonna have to warm up. Warm up,
that's fine.
Yesterday was Media Democracy Days at Vancouver. I was almost gonna say Vancouver Public Library because it's been there for like a decade, but
at the SFU Harbor Center.
It was at Harbor
like
Center because it had to be moved because of a flood. BPL.
A flood at the library.
How are the books?
The book, it was downstairs where the conference area is.
Oh, good.
So
just drown some businessmen.
Yeah, exactly. Well, and they offered to like move us, but it would have been out in a corner. So we went to SFU Harbor Center.
Nice.
And that was really good, although yesterday was a huge day in Vancouver for a lot of reasons.
There were so many things happening. Yeah, there was, like, a ginormous Kinder Morgan, like, anti-pipeline march.
Enormous, yeah.
It was, like, 4,000 people or something like that.
I haven't had a chance to read about it yet, but, like, from the people who were coming to us were saying at least a few thousand.
Yeah.
And a lot of our kind of crowd overlaps with anti-pipeline crowd. So
that tracks.
But I was really excited because we still had an excellent turnout, even though that was going on, and we were happy for people to be at either, and any, like, there were several other things going on.
Yeah,
so
you come in, drop in, learn about some media, and then go
that's
about
right
democracy.
Yeah, you learn a bit about both. Sometimes they come up together, sometimes they come up separately.
The Venn diagram's pretty much
a
circle for the events.
Exactly. Sometimes one comes first.
Is that a small neighborhood grants party thing, too, talking about the project that I did in the summer?
What about large neighborhood grants?
I
when
know.
Do they get a chance to
I know,
party?
Right?
It's all about the small guys.
Exactly.
Tiny little grants.
Well, they actually did a toast that was like, small is beautiful, and I was like, I was there.
Like,
and I was like,
and I am beautiful.
Right, it made me feel good. But everyone there was just like, we gotta get to Kinder Morgan. So, like, all of the community, like, sort of more activist-y folks, like,
that's right,
everything
left on the same bus,
but like everything happened yesterday. So anyway, so are you drained?
I'm so drained.
Did you, were you on like the organizing committee to run this event, or did
no,
you just go to,
I was
okay, presenting?
No, neither. I was co-curating a media exhibit that was taking place at the same time, and it was just an all-day loop. We had 3 screens and then a loop of 11 projects. And they were repeated for the day. And then we had a listening stations with headphones and chairs and some programs, which, because they're largely like audiovisual and some of them are pretty surreal or elliptical, so we had write-ups about the films in the little booklet.
Neat.
And yeah, so that was really fun, but it was exhausting because I had my public face on from like 7 in the morning.
Ain't that the fucking truth?
That's
yes.
Far too early to be one's public self.
Yeah, I'm exaggerating rampantly. Like, I was gearing up my public face from 7 in the morning.
Yeah. I really hate that. Like, if I have to table at events or things like that where you're just like, hey, come over here, and, like, being engaging.
Exactly.
And, like, getting people, like, excited about what you have to talk about. Yeah. And then just having pretty much to say the same thing over and over, I'm sure, is just, like, it's exhausting. I don't even know how people that have that as their day-to-day job survive.
No, it's... I know I'm a bit of an introvert in that way. And then I have a friend in town who's part of a performance happening at Vancouver New Music, which was happening after Media Democracy started at 8, and it was basically an experimental music and noise show, which I would normally love, but after that type of a day, I just it felt like it was literally sucking the dregs of my batteries just to hear this.
I need quiet.
So we ended up leaving at intermission, but so that was my long yesterday.
Yeah. Fair enough.
Yeah.
I had a funny conversation with my mom's partner about noise music, because, like, we were at the Roberts Creek Legion, and there were some guys just, like, with a out-of-tune guitar and a fucking diddidoradoo and stuff, just, like, making the cacophony. But then he was reminded that, like, our friend, he's like, well, I don't really like this very much, but it kind of reminds me of, like, your friends that, like, came over to Gibson's, and it was, like, they did all this music that was just really, like... It was just, like, noise, and I was like, yeah, it was a noise music show, George, and he was like, ha, perfect, like, amazing. He thought that was so funny, he's like, noise music, because it's just noise, right. He was so excited.
The idea of engaging with noise.
Yes.
Yeah. This was, like, really voice-based, so there were these voice performers, and they were routing it through their instruments, and they're turning tables and drumming, and but the voice stuff was pretty intense.
Cool.
My friend's piece was really great as well. Aaron G, I'll just say.
Is that what Jake
does? Yeah.
What's his band called?
Holdscoff.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. What's his... I'm, like, trying to remember his full name.
Jake Hardy.
I don't know why I was like, Jacob Holtzman? I'm like, no, that's Jillian Holtzman from the Ghostbusters movie. I was combining that with Holdscoff. So I was at least halfway there.
Right.
Living on a prayer.
No, I think my favorite... favorite moment was when one of the drummers overturned, like, a container full of cutlery onto the drums, and they were all, like, falling on the drums, and it made a rhythm. It was really quite, or not a rhythm, but a pattern, like, you know, it's good, but it was loud, and I was tired.
So. Yeah, it's funny, because, like, I understand and kind of can enjoy that stuff intellectually, but I fucking cannot listen to it. It's really hard for me because I'm just like, it's dissonant, like, just in my musician brain.
Your head's trying to rearrange it.
Yeah, it makes me really tired.
I feel that way with metal too. Like, Bob plays metal all, like, lots.
Past guest Bob.
I love going to a metal show because then I'm engaging with it and processing it for a limited time. But as background,
checking out all the
leather. Leather, denim.
Leather and denim. It's a good time.
Camo sometimes.
We were talking about that downstairs, about just going to metal shows, and I was just reminiscing about, because I haven't gone to one in 10 beautiful years.
Yeah.
But I used to.
10 peaceful years.
10 peaceful years. But I used to do photography, because everybody does at some point, right? And I would go and do, you have to. So I was doing, like, band photography and stuff, and I had a lot of metalhead friends from North Delta, so I would go and, like, do photos for Mecha Messiah and Muff Goat and Goat Abortion, or I don't actually know the names of all the bands, but there's, like, always got to put a rude thing in there, you know, like, and think about a barn animal dying and but it was I went to a show where there was actually, like, goat parts on the stage.
Yeah.
It was really gross. I was like, this is so fucking extra. I just wish I had studs that just could just come out at any time, and I'd be like, yes, I belong at this metal show, and then I could just hide.
Kind of like Wolverine, but for shoulder pads?
Schnick. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Just to fit in spikes, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, my first metal show was, like, I had to go for a class assignment to a type of music I haven't engaged with before.
Oh.
But I chose a thrash, like, it was really a good show, but it was, like, a thrash lineup with 5 bands, and the crowd was really hardcore, and I would say, like, 80%... hyper masculine presenting, and, like, they were really nice. They were, like, but it was majorly stimulating to just look at the outfits and look at the body language and the communication. And I tried to go in the mosh pit, and nobody would mosh with me. They were too polite. They'd always be like, "Oh, sorry," to me, like,
because they're just like, "Oh, look at it."
Yeah, it was really that was the start of my interest in metal, but. Yeah, definitely the outfits were a huge part of it. It reminded me a bit of, like, the WWE.
Okay.
Like, in a weird way, like, how much they were into playing this
really, character.
This character, this
masculine character.
And I'm having fun with it.
Have I talked about my wrestling paper on the podcast before?
So.
Oh, I wrote a paper on production of masculinity in professional wrestling for one of my, because I'm very pretentious.
Right.
I want to take something that's lower middle brow and like academize it just to see how ridiculous I can get with something. Like, I wanted to try to write the weirdest paper I could and still get a good grade on.
But that's great, because it's like the real world.
Yeah, it was really fun, and I still am very interested in professional wrestling. I don't love it, but we get the WWE channel, and so I'm always picking things up, and I'm, like, interested in what's going on in their, like, younger show. Like, they have a testing ground for people who will, like, go on to be signed to the WWE proper. It's called NXT. That's where all the hot young people are, and they'll do all, like, really cool shit. Like, it's always sort of middleweight people doing really crazy things off of the ropes and like, very beautiful acrobatic work. And there's this woman, her name is Asuka, and she's on loan from New Japan in Japan, go figure. And she has been just playing this role of, like, it's sort of like Kesha meets some sort of, like, Kurosawa warrior type creature. So she's got, like, neon face paint and, like, bright neon, like, fringed clothes.
That's awesome.
And she's just, but she has, like, the crazy, like, that's her whole thing. She's like, oh, I am a crazy person. So she just does wild eyes at her opponents and just intimidates the shit out of them. But she's also an incredible athlete. So she just, like, you know that thing that Black Widow does in the Avengers ads, like all of the trailers, where she does the thing where she puts her legs around someone's neck, like just jumps up and gets them around the neck with her legs and then just twists them down to the ground?
Yeah.
She can actually do that.
Cool.
Like, to people. For real. I'm impressed.
That's
honestly
pretty cool.
So it's like, it's pretty easy to get sucked into that. And yeah, it was interesting to get to talk about, like, productions of masculinity and that, like, you know, China, even as a wrestler, she had to kind of play with the big boys and she had to be a more masculine character. But then that worked against her because she got, like, harassed about it all the time. And then she started becoming hyper feminine in response to it. And eventually she died.
Yeah.
Like, super sad story, right? Mm-hmm. But it's kind of like, oh, sure, you get to experiment with gender and things in the WWE, but ultimately they only affirm things that are already mainstream accepted.
Right.
And anything else just kind of gets quietly shuffled away.
Huh.
So it was both inspiring and disturbing, I think, to look at it that way. So, yeah, wrestle boys.
Yeah.
Well, it's a very, it's like a very homoerotic scene, for sure.
Oh, it is. That it is.
I just like those guys that you were telling me about. The three...
New Day?
Yeah, New Day.
New Day's amazing.
They seem, like, sweet and nerdy, and so are they also sort of hyper-masculine, but then they play with it, or...?
I think it's just all play for them. Having so much fun all the time. Like, they come in with really, like, positive big smileys, you know, trombone, trumpet, like, I think there's, like, many graduate degrees between the three of them and stuff, so it's just really... It's nice and fun in response to, like... You know, there are wrestlers I can't stand the sight of. There's this WWE wrestler named Sheamus who is, and I think it's just because I spent so much time around people who are really obsessed with their own Irish heritage and they've confused that for a personality. That's not about my friend Nick. That's really just about, like, an ex-boyfriend of mine and, like, some of his friends. And I just think, like, oh God, this guy is, like, 6'6". He's pasty as a sheet. And he has, like, this perfect red flat top and red beard and, like, just hairless. He's so pale, he's almost blue, and he wears like bright green shorts. He looks like a jacked fucking leprechaun. Like, it's gross. So it's like, not everybody's got a good gimmick.
I don't dig that at all.
No, I could show you a picture of him and you'd be like, ew. I could feel your reaction.
I'm not gonna body shame it. No, I'm just kidding.
You could body shame Sheamus from the WWE.
Body Sheamus.
Body Sheamus. I like it. I like it very much.
Man.
So
this week I went to an awesome book launch for a book called The Remedy, which is my professional crush, Zena Sharman, name check. She's this amazing health researcher, does, like, health policy stuff, and is always present at, like, lots of awesome, like, femme events. And she got she edited this anthology of queer and trans people writing their health experiences. And so some of it is, like, bad experiences that they've had. Some are really good experiences that they've had. Some is, like, future, like, imaginings for, like, how a more inclusive healthcare system could be.
Mm-hmm.
And it was awesome. It was, like, a sweet book launch. And it was, like, the crowd was all, like, gorgeous queer people.
My favorite.
It was lovely. I was feeling a little bit down just because of, like, all of the world post election
oh,
stuff.
Oh, yeah. Is everything shit,
yeah.
guys?
Yeah.
Yeah, and so I was like, I need to go to this event and,
do something that's hopeful.
Yeah, and, like, be surrounded by, like, a whole lot of, like, really awesome queer people, basically. I feel like I sort of disengaged from that community. Like, last year I was going to a lot more femme events, and I don't know. I still, like, I struggle a little bit with the, like, oh, I'm not actually queer enough to go to these queer events, but
right.
I need to just, like, go. Because people are always happy to see me, and I'm happy to see them.
Oh,
so
yeah.
it's, like,
yeah.
I'm not welcome at all. It's just my own shit. But it was just really nice to, be surrounded by lots of nice folks. Nice.
It's very hard to be validated as a bisexual.
Yes.
I agree with that.
It's really, you get invisibilized a lot, and that's not a word.
Well.
Or, yeah, I either get, you know, when I dated men a lot, I was kind of like, well, am I really bisexual? And now, like, I'm married to a woman, and people call me, people will just call me a lesbian. Like, you got, right. oh, yeah, hey, lesbian, you got lesbian hair. I'm like, it's not an insult, but it isn't accurate. Please, just listen to me when I tell you things.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's hard because it's got the word sexual in it, so it always sounds like,
there's not
when you say it
a
to somebody.
Word. There's not a, I know.
No.
There isn't.
No, and, like, some people refer to themselves as being pan, like, a short for pansexual.
Yeah.
But it just sounds like your cooking equipment, pretty much.
Yeah, or it still has sexual in it.
Yeah.
I guess they all do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm...
Whenever someone says they're pan, I just picture them with little goat hooves, basically.
Cloppity clop, clop, clop. Little pan pipes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, I sometimes call myself trisexual.
Because you'll try anything once?
I'll try anything that I feel like trying.
Is that Samantha that from Sex in the City?
It's not that ethos, though. I agree that maybe it's too flippant, but I mean, trisexual, like, all right, if you're in a gender binary or if you're not in a gender binary.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's three.
Yeah.
That's three.
It was probably Merit Kopasz, who just, like, read everything that she writes all the time, was saying, like, trying to look at bisexual and, like, could it actually be reinterpreted as opposed to just, like, oh, men or women? It would be, like, my gender or different genders as the binary and the bi. It's, like, a little bit of philosophical gymnastics, but...
Oh, yeah.
But I don't know. So I kind of dig that.
I usually just say queer because it's the most encompassing, but it's not favored by many people.
I know. It's hard because I also find that it fits me the best. But, like, I know a lot of people that are like, it's still a slur and I fucking hate it.
Language is tough.
Some people do. I think, like, academically it's pretty accepted
term. Oh, yeah.
But it's also hard because you can't. It's hard for me when I work. I sometimes spend a lot of time working through terms and things in my head and then just not being able to control how other people.
Yeah.
Interpret that the terms mean something different for them.
Yeah.
So.
Oh, God damn it. It's almost like other people have other internal lives and get to do their own thing.
Perhaps it was
our intention.
You were showing me the circular diagram of how we can communicate our thoughts. Like, here's all the things I think. Here are the things I can put into words. Here's what I can say to other people. Here's what other people hear. And here's how other people interpret it. So it just, like, gets narrower and narrower and they're getting less and less of what you are really, truly thinking and saying. And I just, that's so relatable to me. That's why it's so hard for me to edit my words down if I'm writing.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Because it's like, but I really don't want anyone to misinterpret what I'm saying.
Yeah. So we over-preface.
And then it's even more murky.
Yeah.
So, like, figuring out how to laser hone your little message if you have one is really hard.
Word choice.
Mm-hmm. It's hard. I found a picture of that guy, Chris.
Oh, okay. Ah! Oh, God!
Body Sheamus!
He looks like a cartoon.
He does look like a cartoon.
There's just, his face is weird.
I look at it and I just hear that song from The Departed. I'm pretty sure that's the song he enters to. That da 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 da. Like, wait, no, that's one of my old songs from my old band. No, I'm thinking of that, I'm a sailor pig and I lost my leg. You ever heard that song?
No.
No? It's called Shipping Up to Boston. I'm sure he's from Boston.
Oh, no.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Doesn't he look like a guy who has a Bruins jersey?
Yeah. That's so funny. We touched on that a bit last week, just with the affectation instead of a personality kind of thing. But I guess as, like, a wrestler,
you have to have an affectation.
You have a character. And then
Chris, the Undertaker kills people. He kills them. I've seen him do it. Why won't they stop him? It's just been going on for 30 years. Anyway.
That's pretty hilarious.
He kills people.
Katie, I really liked what you did this week, where you decided to just, like, give a whole big lovin' to everybody on your Facebook page, which was really sweet. She just, like, wrote awesome, like, love letters to everybody, basically.
Yeah, I got that from from our mutual friend Chloe. I don't know who originated it, honestly, but it was just like, hey, like my status, and I will write a message about what I like about you. Mm-hmm. And I thought, you know, I post a fair bit, so I figure that I'm kept out of a lot of people's feeds because I post too much. Mm-hmm. And really? So I didn't think anybody would like
the.
I think I post a very moderate amount of things, but I'm very, you know, self-conscious about taking up space. So. And I promo my shows a lot, and so I get really, really, like, bashful about that, too. Mm. So, anyway, I posted that, and then I got, like, 55 likes, so I had to write 55 paragraphs about people.
Right.
That I found really interesting. I really would like to get a word count on it and see how much I actually wrote that day, because it was a stinking lot.
Yeah, it really
was probably
did.
A few thousand, at least.
Right.
I liked what you wrote to your mom that was just like, "Dear Mom, you made me with your body, so you win."
Yeah, no, that was really, I couldn't believe how much fun it was to do, because I was just, I've been so sad, like, yeah. ever since the election and before that, like, mm-hmm. I've just been so wiped out, but I think I mentioned last week that I started taking SSRIs, like, antidepressants, and they've been helping a lot in terms of the feeling hopeless thing, like, or feeling, like, very, pointless and demotivated, you know, like, just not being able to get out of bed kind of thing, like, mm-hmm. I still want to stay in bed, but I actually can get out. Which good. Feels good, uh-huh. And I'm very upset and very sad, but I also don't feel like I feel resistant, like I feel like I have some energy to fight.
Yeah, your resiliency is kind of coming back.
A little bit. But doing that all day was just so, I've been so tired and so bored with life, so to just think about, like, what do I like about people? It was a great exercise in gratitude, right? Mm-hmm. Just the attitude of gratitude.
It's important, like...
It is.
To sort of reflect, like, I have all these amazing people in my life. Wow. Mm-hmm. Look at what they bring to my day-to-day. Yeah. Like, it's awesome.
So it satisfies my want to, like, be kind to people, make other people feel good, but it also satisfies my need to, like, perform empathy and love.
Okay.
Which is, I think, a lot of people replied to me and said, you're great at leading by example. And that's really what I try to do a lot, is just, like, make sure it's okay, like, other people know it's okay to tell people that you love them, right. You know, like, and just to be really vulnerable like that, to just be like, you're really great and I love this about you, and not feel like, okay, homo, or whatever, in response to something. So, like, Gavin Clarkson, past last week's guest, yeah. He put a mad face on instead of, like, you know how you can like something or sad face it, or whatever, he, like, right. put an angry face, and I'm like, oh, I'm gonna write something nice about you anyway. He's like, gross. Feelings are scary and disgusting.
They're pretty
gross, so... Yeah, it was really nice, and then later that day I was, like, scrolling through them and seeing people's responses to them and just sort of crying happy tears, and Aww. It was really nice. So, that was the best thing I did all week, pretty much.
I really liked it.
Me too.
I didn't like your status.
Yeah.
I know. I decided not to. I'm like, she's got enough on her plate. I know how she feels about me.
I mean, we do profess our undying love for each other on the daily, pretty much. So. Yeah.
I missed you this week, though. I was, like, so busy at work.
Yeah, you were.
That I just wasn't even around online or anything.
My God. It's like you were doing your job or something.
I had so much job to do, man.
So much job.
Lots and lots of job.
A real jobby.
That means poop in Scotland.
Oh, God. She's not lying. Oh, should we talk about other shitty things that have happened?
I guess.
We're very mad at Margaret Atwood this week.
Yeah.
Yeah. Not good. I was thinking about getting a Margaret Atwood tattoo for a while, and now I'm really glad that I didn't.
So I've only angry tweeted at two people before Margaret mm-hmm. Atwood. Like, maybe I...
Who were they?
Well, actually, no, let's not... I've also tweeted at Obama and Harper, but I think they don't count because they don't read... Like, that's just... But TransLink, I tweet regularly at TransLink.
I do too, and I feel really bad about it sometimes.
And the mayor of Abbotsford, when they did that, chicken manure dump, I just lost my shit.
Did you hear about this, Katie?
No.
So there was, like, a tent city in Abbotsford, and the fucking city dumped chicken shit all over it so people would leave.
What?
Yeah, isn't that horrible?
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
I have, like, full-body disgust about this.
Yeah.
That's vile.
Yeah, so cruel.
Fuck Abbotsford.
Yep.
So then it was, like, a disruptive thing, which a few other people engaged with as well, where he would be, like, doing his PR tweets, like, I'm on the ferry going to visit people in Victoria. And then everyone else would be like, can you smell the chicken shit from there? And, like, all these kind of things. So I had some tweets. But then the Margaret Atwood just, like, broke my heart, and I realized I felt... betrayed and angry and sad, and so I deleted one of them, and then I left the other one up.
Yeah. A lot of people were writing to her on Twitter because she signed a letter in defense of, like, Stephen Galloway and, like, the UBC investigation into some misconduct and stuff like
that.
Yeah,
it's all like the, we need a new, independent, transparent investigation into this. Like, like, it wasn't done correctly. And then, like, a bunch of really amazing, like, all the big Canadian lit superstars signed it. Like, Charlie D'Amour signed it. Which really disappoints me, because I love, like, I've always adored him as a person and a comedian, so it's like...
We'll see what happens.
Yeah.
He's been out of town or something. Maybe he'll come back and be like, fuck.
I'm really, really hoping that she takes her name off and apologizes, but she's also a very stubborn old lady.
She's elaborated on her position.
Yeah, she, like, doubled down.
She's made it even stronger.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. She really doubled down on it.
Like, no acknowledgement that even, it's kind of arrogant, like, even if they had the best of intentions and it wasn't just, you know, reacting strongly to, like, someone you know getting checked on what they're doing in their position, whether it's ethical or not, and whether or not people were harmed by it. I think that's a whole process maybe it does need. Obviously, the university process is broken.
Yeah, but, we need to, like, there's got to be better ways to look at sexual misconduct and stuff with, like, teachers and students. Like,
yeah, and I think a lot of people would sign the letter saying that.
Yeah.
But saying, like, basically accusing the school of doing a witch hunt and that women are capable of lying just like men and going into this from a really elite perspective. I found it to be, like, a really elite perspective. And then when people called her on it, she just doubled down. She didn't acknowledge, like, there was no humility that maybe she could have thought some of those word choices through. Some of those
at
decisions.
Least giving an acknowledgement off the bat. People were saying, like, just to say, we know that these processes are really hard on the complainants as well.
Yeah.
There was just no acknowledgement of that.
And then when people reacted, she got very combative, and there wasn't really acknowledgement that they might also have personal and, like, you know, social justice related stakes in this as part of this community that's been affected by.
Yeah. So I saw lots of people were writing to her, and then she was writing back, like, real snarky shit to people. And she's like, maybe you should write a letter about blah, blah, blah. And then someone's like, well, you wrote, like, the initial and, like, your piece in The Walrus, like, there's
and
all this stuff.
And also you have a voice and a platform. Like, sure, I can write a letter, but
who's going to read
who's
it?
Who's going to syndicate it?
So that's the access, right? Yeah, that her, you know, one person was saying, like, there's a reason that I have to do this big tweet thread or whatever, and you got published in, like, a magazine with your thing. Yeah. So, like, there's definitely stakes and access.
And, you know, people who are named as part of the report, like, as complainants, their ability to access Canadian literature circles now is pretty much closed. Like, their persona non grata. Yeah. Just really unfair.
Mm-hmm.
It is. They've been labeled as whiny. And and then we have other people coming in with their platform, with their power, and saying, like, oh, please, you know, our good friend wouldn't, not even our good friend wouldn't have done something like this, but you should have treated our good friend better than this and done more to, you know, find out that he actually is a good character and all these kinds of things. And I'm thinking, like, there are people who are very kind and good and charming who do abusive things.
That's right. Yeah.
It's not like, let's kill him. It's like, please admit that you've done something wrong and then do things to fix it. And
maybe
change
you shouldn't be
forward.
In a position of power right now or something.
Well, I was going to say, it calls into question the whole sort of structure of that sphere. And I think it's a pretty patriarchal and, like, very, I don't know, like, it seems like it's an elite type of sphere. And so the pressure that...
Canadian literature, you mean,
I mean, Canadian literature and, like, creative writing, professional creative writing.
It was a real disappointment. Like, it was a very disappointing week to see all those names on there. Miriam, I don't know if it's Miriam Toews or Miriam Taves. I don't know how it's pronounced, but she's like the she's a Manitoban writer who is really good. I read a lot of her stuff. She took her name off.
This other woman,
woman did too.
But she was the biggest name when I saw who took her off. But and Lawrence Hill, who wrote Book of Negroes, he came out and said, like, we are failing women by doing this. Like, I will not add my name to that list. And I was like, oh, good. Lawrence Hill is.
That's solid.
He's on the level, and then I said it was really disappointing that Joseph Boyden was the originator of that initial letter, because, like, I love his writing. He's a phenomenal writer.
Yeah.
I don't know how I'm going to be able to continue reading these people, knowing, like, that they're not safe people.
I was thinking about
people,
that. I had
know?
Three Margaret Atwood books on my Christmas list, because I wasn't caught up, and then I just took them off. I was like, not right now, maybe later.
I am pretty caught up. Like, I love her writing, and I don't know if I'll be able to stop, but, like, I guess it just really calls into question how much I want to have, like, a bit of cult personality around the people that I admire. Like, I want somebody to be super amazing, and so I can be like, oh my god, I love her, I stand for her, yas gaga, you know, like, that kind of thing. And it's just, people are human, and they're valuable and stuff, and that's always very disappointing, because I don't know, I feel like I work really hard to be not infallible, but just, like, always ready to hear all sides of something, kind of, and not come down super hard on one side or another, but to, you know, champion the little person. I don't literally mean little people, yeah. but you know what I mean.
The underdog.
And so it just very much disappoints me when other people don't have the humility to do that.
Yeah.
They're just like, you know, they know they have a platform behind them. And, you know, I think it's extra hard to swallow that right now because we're looking at, and I'm sorry to bring it up again, but like the fact that Donald Trump won the presidency of the United States, like that there is a bully who won.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So you can't say to kids like bullies never win. They're like, clearly they do. Yeah. And they get so much money and they can just do things and not care about how people feel.
But we have to be nice and treat each other good. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. How do you keep justifying that to yourself? Yeah. Like that you to just keep being a good person when there is no reward for it other than just knowing that you yourself are good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, I agree. I think I was texting with my friend after that and I said, well, it's my new motto. I can't have a feminist hero.
Yeah.
It's just going to be sad. And also, I also with artists and writers, I found knowing more isn't always conducive to enjoying their work.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's happened with everyone that I've loved and idolized, like Amanda Palmer, Neil Gaiman, like just people that I really obsessed over, and now I'm just kind of like, Bill Hicks. I had to look at my arm. I have a Bill Hicks tattoo. So I had to look at it and be like, who was it? Oh, that guy.
Yeah.
I was thinking about David Bowie, but like he, I don't know, you know, it's just all that kind of shit.
Yeah.
There's always ways that people you love can disappoint you. So dark.
Yeah.
Yeah. Good. Indeed. Yeah. So
super not into that.
That's like the one bit of point of despair I've had in the last week. Otherwise I've been kind of coping just fine, which surprises me. Just, I guess there's no other option.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, in the end, it's back to the minute-to-minute, but that was a really dark week.
Yeah.
Very dark.
It souked.
It did.
In a real big way.
Like, I felt viscerally ill for a few days.
How are you guys taking care of yourselves a bit? Like, are you finding you need to do more self-care in this sort of dark time, or?
Well, just because of my own, like, weird digestive issues of, like, fucking heartburn or whatever, I've been taking care of myself in that way. Mm-hmm. And I think I already talked about this. I was just getting grumpy about, like, you know, I'm taking such good care of myself, and it's really boring, and then it's, like, I'm just so that I can, like, function really well at work, right? And it's, like, I don't want to be too tired so that I can do my job better. Like, I want to, and so then I was getting a little bit resentful of just, like, man, my job isn't the only thing about me. I should get to do other stuff, too. But then I realized that I just really fucking love my job right now. So do want to do good at it. So, yeah.
I want to be good at job.
I want to job well.
Do good job, yes.
Yeah.
I think I mean more self-soothing than self-care. Because, like, self-care and self-soothing are two totally different things that get conflated all the time, I think.
Yeah.
And I definitely, like, trying to join a gym, going to the doctor, going to a counselor. Yeah. Those are all the things that I'm doing for self-care. But I'm thinking really, like, I've been doing a little bit extra self-soothing. I've been able to kind of go, okay, I deserve to feel good even though things aren't good.
Mm-hmm.
So I've been kind of letting myself do more fun and selfish things, which often just means, like, putting music on or just watching old shows over and over again. Like, sometimes I find that really soothing, just to see things I've already seen. So I know that they're not going to reference the current election.
There's sort of a debate right now, or not even debate, but just, like, comedians being reflexive about, like, do we just distract people from actually participating? Like, does entertainment in general just distract people from engaging with the world, and that's why, like, nobody votes and nobody, like, actually get. And so, like, people feeling like, I was reading Jen Kirkman for a while, and I, even on her podcast, she was, like, almost in tears being, like, my job is, like, pacifying people, and I don't want to do it anymore, kind of.
Wow.
But, like, she's gotten over that sort of since, but the immediate, like, after the election thing was just, like, why are we making people laugh? Like, they need to get angry. We need to stop distracting people.
Yeah.
And so, like, I feel sometimes conflicty about just, like, oh, okay, I'm gonna, like, just read a book and stay off of the internet because I need to disengage for my own mental health. But then it's, like, I'm just distracting myself and not actually doing, like, the real work. But I don't think reading tweets is the real work anyway. No. So I've really made a commitment to, like, show up for shit a lot more. And so, like, yes, I do need to, like, rest and take care of myself, but it's, like, I can go out in the evening and go to this book launch, or I can go to, like, a march, or I can go to whatever, like, so I'm gonna try to do that more, show up and be present. I don't know.
That sounds like a lot of work.
It does. I'm not really great at doing those things.
Yeah, I definitely feel the conflict about self-soothing and still wanting to be engaged. But I don't think I can get engaged unless I do take the time off.
Yeah.
Because it just, the whole last 3 weeks were so bad for international news, and I was really plugged into it, that I took, after the election, I took a week off Twitter, and I felt way better.
Yeah.
And now, and I went back, and I'm like, oh, I feel worse again, so I'm thinking about just leaving forever, because I don't think it's working for me as a good tool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, so just trying to figure out, like, oh, these certain things are, you know, instead of being, gaining more knowledge, it's self-harm in some ways.
Yeah.
Like looking at the same things and getting angry. And we're very impotent here in Canada, unfortunately. Because,
well, I was going to say, I really, looking at the same things, I feel like if the internet wasn't, for me, it's like Facebook and Twitter, mm-hmm. and then kind of go from there.
Yeah.
And I really want to get off Facebook. I think that feeling of like it's dark, and also just kind of checking that feed over and over,
yeah.
up to the minute, like, I think it does affect my mental well-being.
Yeah.
But I really wish that blog culture was still a thing, and people had the blog role with their blog, and then they just
we could read each other's.
I miss LiveJournal.
Yeah, exactly. Or I even miss MySpace. Like I used to use it for blogging, and I had subscribed to people, and we would chat.
Yeah.
And I like
the longer form updates.
Yeah.
But there isn't anything like that anymore, hey? Like, it's very pithy. It's very short for the most part.
Mm-hmm.
And Facebook is such a kind of, like, crapshoot. It's like a slot machine, like, what's going to come up next, instead of, being able to explore kind of familiar avenues and people's actual spaces of their own.
Huh, I hadn't thought about that in a while, but I would really agree with that, actually. Like, that was the time in the internet that I really loved it the most, that I got the most out of it, and it was, like, more of a good than a bad thing. I think that the short form, like, it's not social media is ruining us necessarily, but we're using it as a replacement for actual engagement, probably.
Yeah.
But, I mean, that's nothing that other people haven't already said a million times and more eloquently. But I miss that sort of, like, being able to tell your own, like, a narrative rather than a piece.
Yeah.
You know, so, and then communicating with other people on that basis. Like reading people's diaries, essentially, all the time. Like, you journal physically, Chris. Like,
well,
you sort of. Sort of. Well, you said you were journaling.
Yeah, that's true.
Okay. I thought you said you wanted to talk about it.
Oh, yeah, I forgot.
Oh, my God. You're looking at me like, yeah, uh-huh.
Yeah.
Journal.
Sorry.
Yep.
You were setting me up for something.
I was. And I found my old live journal a little while ago and was going through it and was like, oh no, I overshared so many things.
Oh, yes.
Had to go back and find my new login and like go back and hide things.
Oh my goodness.
Yes.
What kind of stuff?
Sex stuff. No, I'm just kidding. I don't even know. But it's just me being embarrassing.
Yeah.
Kind of like going back and reading what I used to say when I was, 23 or 22.
I don't think that ever stops. Like, I looked at stuff from 5 years ago and I was, oh my goodness, I said that. And
oh, the Facebook memories that come up every now and again. Sometimes they'll be like, oh, I said that?
Yeah.
Oh, dear.
Yes, you set up journal, and then as I was reading over, like, those notes, I'm like, oh, I've already talked about all those things. I just seamlessly wove them into our conversation.
Oh, my God. You're such a story weaver.
Yeah. Katie, writing out her kind things to friends. I want to have all these people on the podcast so we can tell them nice things about them.
all of the people who posted
all
on
of
my,
the people.
All 50 of them?
All in one shot. No.
Oh, my goodness.
Just kidding. But that was, I remember, like, when we were first doing this podcast, wanted to get guests just on the basis of, like, let's get somebody and then tell them why we admire them or their lifestyle or whatever, and then like elaborate on that more, so
sort of exploring why we're friends with certain people we're friends
with
and that kind of thing.
That's kind of how we started out a little bit.
Yeah, it was a bit more of that initially. I think we could get back to that.
Mm-hmm.
I was really, of course, we went through, like, a lot of people we were pretty close to right off at the top.
Yeah.
And then have only just started to sort of review or revisit certain guests.
Mm-hmm.
So we should get Bob back on again.
Yeah.
He was a really good episode.
Oh, yeah.
That's your BF.
Yeah. He told some good stories.
Oh, yeah. He talked about shimmying down a pole at a party in Mexico because he couldn't get down the stairs. So he, like, leapt off the balcony and climbed down a pole, and then someone got really mad at him and said, you dirty gringos.
Right. That sounds about right.
You're like, that's him for sure.
Yep.
Story checks out.
I recognize that guy.
Did he have a greasy mustache as well? Oh, yes.
I always ask him to leave a bit of a greasy mustache, but, you know.
The mustache is the powerful, like, it's a weird
totem.
It's
the source of his power.
Yeah, it's like a weird sex totem.
Weird sex totem. It gives him that energy, you know, that you probably love so much about him.
Poor guy.
He loves it.
Oh my goodness. Yeah. Ah, we've got a lot of fun friends.
It's true. We should do that more. But yeah, do more podcasting.
Yeah.
Forever.
So that's kind of the goal. Yeah, but yeah. I derailed us a little bit just around like social media things and how everything's so short and lacks context, I guess, is really hard to, like, then you can't really have, like, a good substantial discussion. And what I've been having a lot of trouble with is just making sure that your message gets reached.
Yeah.
Like, or, like, reaches out and gets heard. Because, like, you know, for work, I try to do a lot of communication stuff. Like, we've got this newsletter and, like, our Facebook and Twitter and blah, blah, blah. And then, you know, you get emails being like, well, we haven't heard your position on this. We haven't heard anything about it. I'm like, I've been screaming it, but I guess into the void.
Well, Facebook is definitely like
the algorithms or whatever. Oh, like shit gets buried and
you have to pay a lot to get
things. You have to pay, quite a bit. And even then, I don't know what kind of business review standards they have for how that is actually delivered to people. So
yeah, it says like I did finally like a promoted ad and paid some money for it. And it says, you know, oh, you've reached 3,000 people, but it's like...
That just means they saw it, doesn't mean they...
I know, and then, like, but then they measure how many people actually clicked on the link to your website. So out of, like, 7,000 or something like that, 3 clicks to the website. So, like, it's not, like...
That's not a high...
No, so it's not really worth it. Yeah. But then it's just been frustrating, so I went to, like, a community meeting. I think this is okay to talk about. Just, like, people were really upset because... another big agency had basically put all these consultations together and then all the community members were like, we weren't informed about these consultations. They were all held at weird times and nobody really told us. And the people at the organization were so frustrated, same frustration that I'm feeling, where they're like, we put it in news, we put it in email lists, we postered around the neighborhood, like, what more do you want from us? Like, do you want, like... They were saying in Vancouver, you sometimes need to go knock on doors.
I was going to say, I feel like door-to-door is still...
Yeah, like, you just have to go knock on doors and invite people to this thing. And if people aren't, like, personally invited, like, they just never... Yeah.
I completely agree with that. I think it feeds back to the social media thing, because on Facebook, you get, like, a lot of views or a lot of information, like, very quickly. And so you just kind of, like, it's like the plankton, or you just take some of it in and...
filter it through your mental baleen.
Exactly.
I know about sea mammals.
Yeah, right. But like with a blog, it's like someone's more like someone's space. You know, like you're in there for a while.
Like you're in their room, looking through their shit.
Yeah,
which is really exciting.
That's how I feel about
rummaging.
It.
I love rummaging.
Little archive, or like the little drawers.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like, ooh, what do you keep in your beds? Oh, that's dildos.
Yeah,
it's definitely dildos.
Never go through someone's bedside table drawer.
Unless you're me, 14 and babysitting, then go for it.
Yeah, exactly.
I look through so many people's shit.
I quite enjoyed that.
That's the best part about being a babysitter and eating the food.
Eating the food was what I always did. I never snooped. I just ate everything.
I never drank anyone's alcohol because I was never old enough as a babysitter. Like, I wasn't very interested in drinking when I was 14.
It never occurred to me.
My babysitters drank all of my parents' booze. My babysitter was not good.
She was a bad babysitter.
She's a bad babysitter.
Got the boyfriend in your shower. I'm getting $6 an hour. Do you remember that song? It's this song called Bad Babysitter.
Oh.
It's so bad.
No, it's exactly the
I'm a bad babysitter. I got my boyfriend in your shower. Ooh, I'm getting $6 an hour. I'm a bad babysitter. That's
my childhood babysitter.
Oh my goodness.
Big time.
And it's all about like flirting with the dad and stuff like
that. Oh, gross. Gross. Have I ever told the story? Oh, I'm like, have I ever told you this story on the podcast before?
Ooh.
But I used to babysit for my next door neighbor, and the dad was always really creepy, gave me really weird vibes. And this would have been like, I want to say 99, because I was 14. And I was trying to do homework on their computer once, and I like just clicked down on the nav bar on Netscape, and it was all like hot teens, teen fuck, teen XXX, like like young teens, older men. I was like, I gots to get out of here.
Yeah.
And he always just looked a little too long at you, you know? Yeah, it's just like, oh, God, this is what the world's like, isn't it?
Yeah.
Oh, dear.
I mean, we're both just like,
just like, yeah, and I eat all of their Nutella. That's the only revenge I can have.
Yeah.
I did that. I was like, babysitting for a friend of mine just a couple weeks ago, and... ate their food because they said to, but I like go, I like rummaged, like put the baby to sleep, you know, and then just like rummaged and got tasty ice cream sandwiches that they had.
Nice.
And then they had sea salt, so I cracked some sea salt on the ice cream sandwich. It was so
artisanal good. Ice cream sandwich.
It was so
now.
Good. Yeah.
Still the best inventing snacks. It's still the best thing about babysitting.
Mm. Speaking of inventing snacks.
Yeah, we had a good idea for a business. Or like a YouTube series or something. We're pitching to you now.
Okay. Well, it was inspired by your costume because you were one of the Trailer Park Boys for Halloween, and it was outstanding.
The pictures are incredible.
Thank you.
It's like like a fan fiction just walked off the page.
Yeah.
It was weirdly erotic, honestly.
Yeah, because you were Ricky and your boyfriend was Julian, and then there was like, then you guys smooched and it was great.
I was like, my fic is alive. I never wrote fan fiction about them, but if I did, that's what I'd write about.
I always really liked Julian. I know that he's like an awful whatever, but they're all kind of awful in their own ways.
Oh, no,
but
Julian's
he's so dependable.
Julian's the...
So capable.
Yeah. He gets shit done.
Yeah.
He's the sort of mother hen of the group,
that's
I would
right.
say.
Yeah.
And Julian is, or no, Ricky is just a total piece of shit. Yeah. And Bubbles is the sweet, sweet angel.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Saving them fucking kitties.
I have a soft spot for Ricky, though. I really do.
They're all great.
Such a poor guy. Yeah.
He's just such a shithead.
He's just,
so many button-up shirts with flames and dragons on
them.
Amazing,
yeah.
Just so good.
Yeah. And now you have one.
It's a good fucking dope-growing shirt.
Yeah. No, exactly. It'll be my lucky charm. No, I felt fabulous in a beard. I loved every minute of it. And I was, like, wearing the track pants, the flame shirt, the beard, and I had some, not as good as it could have been, but, like, fake blonde hair dye.
And you had the good little sideburny things.
And I had those. Yeah. I cut up the beard, actually, and, like, made the
Did you use your own hair to make your beard? Or
no,
was there a beard?
I bought a beard. I didn't realize,
you
like,
bought a beard.
Instead of the whole thing being, like, sticky with a beard, of course, it's only sticky here, and I didn't realize that. So when I cut it, all this stuff fell out, so I had to try to re-glue it onto cloth strip.
Oh, my.
You need some spirit gum.
Yeah, well, I had a little bit of that. So, yeah, I was able to cobble it together in the end. But I felt like I was wearing these... like they were really dirty when I bought them because they were the only pair I could find, so they I bought like from
used
the athletic,
dirty track
athletic
pants.
I can only yeah but I washed them in hot water with like soap and vinegar and I'm sure they're fine.
So you got the pee out
exactly. All the ball scratch. So those are my that was my outfit and I felt so good. Like normally I might have a little more like on Halloween like, oh, how am I holding up, and I just felt like I gave no shits. I was like, this is what it would be like to be Ricky. You just wouldn't
a man, I guess.
Well, that's the thing. Yeah, yeah. Really.
It was a really good, like, it was a good-ass drag king kind of look.
You know, when
worked.
I did my very brief stint of being a drag king, do you remember that?
I was there. I also did it.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah. And you had, like, this little pencil mustache.
A little
beard.
Weird goatee, and but my one
and
outfit. Sock in my crotch. I borrowed my then-boyfriend's, like, cargo pants or whatever and had boots like big like sort of Timberland boots like and
a hoodie or a beanie
toque and then like but my hair sort of it was short so it kind of like came out of it and it was red and so I was Patty O'Lantern. I was basically that fucking wrestler guy. Except,
no, you're
like,
much cuter.
Yeah. But because so
and you would
like
dance to Huxley Workman.
Yeah, yeah. But I really liked walking around, practicing my masculine body comportment.
Exactly.
It was really fun.
Yeah,
it was really relaxing to just like strut around and have my shoulders up and like.
Oh yeah.
But then being comfortable in those clothes too is really nice. Just, like,
it's a good the track pants and a button up shirt. It's just good.
Yeah.
Are they tearaways?
I wanted tearaways, but I couldn't find them.
That's too bad. It would have been great if you had like flame boxers and you just whipped them off.
Oh,
that'd
yeah,
be
that would be good. I don't know if Ricky wears boxers, to be honest. I don't.
Probably doesn't wear anything.
I don't think he does.
No, that's just another thing to clean.
Yeah.
Why would you do that if you didn't have to? But it was a good look. And so this was inspiring to us.
Because we were just thinking like, oh, the Trailer Park Boys and like. And then I think, because I was
we're
also.
Talking about what their drinks are.
Yeah, and then I was also drinking wine and eating like Chicago mix.
Yeah.
And Chardonnay, this really good Chardonnay from CL or CL Later Ranch or something.
CL Later Ranch?
Yeah, that's the one.
See y'all?
I was thinking Hey Y'all, the alcoholic iced tea.
See you later, Ranch.
Yes, they have a really good Chardonnay, and it's like $20, and I spend too much money on it, but it's really good.
So you bought a $20 bottle of wine and ate it with Chicago mix.
It was so good! Oh, it was like such a good pairing, because it was like the Swedish, like sweet-ish wine, and then the sweet caramel, and then the, like the cheese, like because the Chardonnay was kind of buttery, apple-y taste. So
nice.
If you think about it, cheddar and caramel both go really well with apples.
It's true.
Yeah.
She's not lying. So... Yeah. So that was, we were trying to figure out what are our, we called it originally, we're like, we should call it like a trailer park sommelier, like give us any kind of dirt baggy snack and then we can suggest a liquor pairing with it.
Yeah.
But then we're like, is that classist to call it trailer park?
It is.
But the trailer park boys, you know, that's really what we're thinking of. But then we were like 7-Eleven sommelier.
And then
you got
get...
like the alliteration.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that's where you get all fine snacks
right.
when you're high or drunk.
No. And
choose your poison.
Yeah, exactly. You get that sweet late night access.
Yeah, absolutely. So we were trying to think of, did we write down some things or?
Can I suggest foods? Because
please.
I know nothing about, I mean, when I read the description on a label of wine, I'll see if I like the sound of it and taste of it. But I don't know what those names of those wines are.
Aha.
So, okay.
Excellent. I took a wine science course.
Okay.
So
wine science.
I was thinking of one like, Cabernet Sauvignon is like the really dark red that has like it's kind of spicier and full-bodied and whatever. So I was like, with the pepperoni and cheese like stick that you get in the package, it'll go really well with Cabernet Sauvignon.
Pep and cheese. Okay.
Yeah.
What about a corn dog?
Ooh, corn dog.
A corn dog. You could. I mean, there's any kind of number of beer pairings that would work with a corn dog.
Yeah.
I mean, but that's easy mode. I would say.
What about a wine?
What about a wine pairing
so,
for a corn dog?
Corn dog, it's like a beef hot dog inside of like the.
I think it's usually pork.
Okay, is this disgusting? I was gonna say, but like this because corn dog's sweet.
Okay, yeah.
Like, what about like a glass of port and a corn dog for dessert? Is that just disgusting?
No. I think that could actually
the
work.
Thing, like the bite and then the really sweet like.
I could see that working. It might be a little syrupy. A corn dog. That's a good challenging one. I was trying to think of what would go best with a Cool Ranch Dorito.
Oh yeah.
Because that's a complex palate, you know. You know what goes really well with it? Just a rum and coke.
So the answer is not wine.
Yeah, not wine. Although I'd love to figure out a good wine to go with.
Well, because we were saying Cool Ranch, does it have sort of a blue cheesy kind of aspect
to
it?
Yeah.
So then a nice Sauternes, perhaps.
Ooh, is that
which
white
is
wine?
Like, yeah, it's a white wine, but it's like, it's older. It's grapes that have been left on the vine until they're like overripe.
Yeah.
And in this one region of France, Sauternes, basically, and... It's really, like, kind of syrupy, almost like a dessert wine, but then you have that with blue cheese, and it really is, like, super delicious. So you could have, like, a syrupy wine with your Cool Ranch Doritos.
Mm-hmm.
I'm writing all of these down.
So corn dog, I feel, could go either way, because, like, do you want to pair with the breading or with the meat?
Yeah, it's a tough call.
Like, what? Mm-hmm. I haven't had a corn dog, I don't think, ever in my life, actually.
Really?
Yeah, so I don't really know what it...
I don't like the batter.
I have a weak spot for corn dogs.
I don't like corn, though.
Is it like cornbread around
it's pretty
it?
Pretty much
it's
like cornbread.
It's like, and if it's good, I won't say I like all corn dogs, but a nice corn dog, it's like...
Only a good corn dog.
A good corn dog.
They have them like, at What's Up Hot Dog.
Not,
we should
not
go
a pogo.
Get one.
I mean, I've been known.
Once in a... I've been known to pogo.
But yeah, no, and then the... It's like a cornbread, and if it's nice and fluffy, and then it's like... And not too thick. I don't like a big... but like a thin layer.
Yeah, okay.
And dip it in some mustard. You know, like...
Okay, okay.
Some good mustard. Hand gestures.
Yeah.
With
so,
your corn dog.
So I'm thinking probably red wine then. Some, like, maybe a lighter bodied... Like a Pinot Noir.
I was thinking a Pinot Noir might work with that, because sometimes it can be a really, like, almost Polish sausage-y sausage insides, like a Costco dog kind
that's
of
right.
with some
that's right.
with some sweet corny batter on the outside.
Yeah, I think Pinot Noir is the winner.
That would be a nice one, yeah. Or like what else, or maybe a rosé.
Oh, I just pair rosé with everything.
Yeah,
it's my favorite.
Yeah. What other things? We should have really thought of this ahead of time. Like, this is a great idea. Oh, it's actually hard.
What other foods at the 7-Eleven? Or just
or just like coming up with the pairings, you know. It's we didn't nobody said it would be easy.
Okay.
You were going to suggest some other foods?
Like fried chicken?
Ooh. A white, I would say.
Uh-huh.
And since it's like a nice... Do we have like a good sharp white? Like maybe a Chenin Blanc? Like a sweet, sharp... I think a Chenin Blanc would be really nice. You can get like a South African Chenin Blanc for like... $12 from the BC liquor store.
Nice. So we're going for, cheap wine and cheap snacks, but... Yeah. I like fried chicken a lot. Oh my god. I think I'm
right
getting
now?
Hungry, yeah.
I'm glad I ate before we started podcasting. I got pocky if you want.
Nah, I'm fine.
We don't like to eat on camera. Or on audio.
Yeah.
It's not a nice thing to do for people.
Mm-hmm.
Yum, 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 yum.
Yeah.
Don't do it.
No, and then you got the food in your mouth and like...
Ugh.
Yeah.
Disgusting.
Yeah.
Eating. Vile. Unless you have wine to go with it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Hmm. I'm what sure there's some ASMR videos with people eating.
Oh, there's tons of them. There's thousands of them.
What, people actually listening to people eat?
Oh, yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah, those are the ones I filter out when I'm searching for them.
Yeah.
Whereas that's... it'll be like marshmallow eating. There's a lot of fried chicken eating ones from Korea and Japan.
Ooh.
Because that's like a big event thing in Southeast Asia is to eat, or I guess East is Japan. It's kind of north. I'm not good at geography, but anyway, like, fried chicken's a huge thing there, in Japan especially. Mm-hmm. Like, KFC is their Christmas meal.
Oh, wow.
Like, everybody, they order it, like, 3 months in advance. They get, like, big old buckets of Colonel Sanders' finest.
Oh, did I tell you that I got to try Popeyes for the first time?
How was it?
Fucking life-changing.
Really?
It was so good. Oh, I've never had, like, fast food fried chicken that is so fucking good.
Really?
Wow. It's, like, southern style fried chicken.
Oh, I do declare.
And, like, a biscuit that was, like, so salty and amazing.
Nice.
And this woman that I follow on Twitter posts about Popeyes all the time. Yeah. And so then I tweeted at her. I was like, so I went to the States a few months ago, and I tried Popeyes for the first time, and it was really amazing. And she, like, retweeted. She's like, I'm crying. Never say that I don't have an impact. She was so happy.
That's so funny.
She's the hero we need and the hero we deserve.
Yeah. So I'm sad that there aren't any in Canada, because it was really good.
I'm trying to think of what if some other... You could get hard-boiled eggs from a 7-Eleven.
You can?
Oh, yeah. You can get a 2-pack of peeled hard-boiled eggs.
Oy. Suspect. Oy.
I've totally eaten that before.
Yeah.
It's hermetically sealed.
Yeah, fair enough. Yeah. I don't know.
It's probably better than one of the hot dogs that's on the torture rack.
Oh, I'm sure.
I
slowly rotating.
I always get taquitos when I go to 7-Eleven.
Because you're drunk when you go to 7-Eleven.
Yeah.
And that's the time to eat. Oh, we'll go with a taquito.
Yeah, so something spicy. I usually get the jalapeno chicken ones.
Respectable choice.
Yeah. I would say some kind of white wine as well.
A white wine.
Maybe a Gewürztraminer.
Oh, I think that would work.
I don't even know what that is.
It's German. Yeah.
It's kind of sweet, grapefruit, lychee, kind of whatever it's supposed to go good with. Isn't it lychee?
I don't know.
Lychee?
I have no idea.
Okay.
It just sounds like leech-like.
Yeah, that's... I don't know.
Just for rebalancing your humors.
Oh, like
bloodletting.
Yeah.
You get it?
Yeah.
Leeches.
It took me a second.
Middle ages.
Oh, I want fucking fried chicken now. Yeah.
That's all you can think about.
Oh, no. There's a Japanese place down the street that you can get a Sapporo and a 3-piece fried chicken for, like, $5.
What? Which place?
The one next to Takofino.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, by platform.
Yeah.
Oh. just take it off mic, guys. Why don't you? Quiet little.
Want to go for fried chicken later?
You guys are getting off topic. This
Do we need to take a break? We've made it an hour.
All right, let's take a fried chicken break.
Okay. We're back.
We're back.
It's, we went into the recording studio and it was daylight and now it's fucking pitch black outside and it's 4 p.m. How are you coping with November so far?
I don't like it because not only that, there's a bunch of guys who have mustaches walking around.
Right.
They're not Bob's mustache.
He doesn't have a mustache right now.
Ooh, but like, the contrarian.
Yeah.
Ever the contrarian. No, I don't. The mustaches are fine. I see a lot of students who are young and can't grow very good ones.
Oh, no.
So I was like, oh, you little you sweet little patchy greaseball, you.
Porchy.
You little porchy. We've been watching The Queen on Netflix.
The Crown.
Oh, The Crown?
Yes.
Oh, no, I haven't seen it yet.
No, it's very snooty.
Oh, I can imagine.
How much of it did we watch when we talked last week?
Half, maybe?
Because I've totally watched the whole thing now.
I finished the whole thing, too. Yeah.
I was like, did I even like that? I don't know. I honestly don't know if I liked it or not, but I couldn't stop watching it.
It was good scenery, and Princess Margaret's so pretty.
I wanted her to have her happiness so much, and then, she couldn't because the world wasn't ready to accept these new things.
Getting married to a divorcee would dissolve the monarchy, don't you know?
Don't you know?
And that already had sort of happened in the previous generation.
Right. So she simply could not do it again. It couldn't be countenanced.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so.
Yeah. So then, after that, I was like, more monarchy shows. I don't know why it's, like, in this whole election turmoil, I'm just, like, going back to, like, revisiting, like, the monarchy, which is your problematic fave.
I wouldn't even be that kind.
No.
But,
it's so bad. But so I started watching that, like, it's dumb, but I love it. It's called Rain, and it's, like, a CW show.
Yep.
So it's, like, sexy teenager, Mary, Queen of Scots. And they're all dressed in, like, Forever 21, like, dresses, but, like, styled up to look like, you know, 1500s French court.
Might have to give that a shot.
It's so cheesy, and all their accents don't match. Like, there's no French accents. Everyone's got English accents, no matter what. Mm-hmm. John Barrowman was in it for a hot second as a hot Scottish guy. That was awesome.
This kilt joke?
No, but...
they missed an opportunity.
It was so good. He's so handsome.
I could swear that we... Did we not talk about this last week, too? Like just the shows that we're watching right now? Because I swear I talked about how I started just rewatching Gallivant again.
Oh, I don't remember.
What's Gallivant?
Gallivant's a very stupid show that I liked very much. It was from ABC, and it only had two seasons, and it was a musical. But it was an absolutely... It's a huge send-up of musicals, too. It's by Alan Menken, who is a... he was a lyricist and composer for, like, Beauty and the Beast and all kinds of, like, Disney movies and stuff. Mm. So he is very well known for penning some really, 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 really famous Disney and musical, like, big style songs, right? And so he put this musical together that's very self-referential. It's very meta, fourth wall breaking constantly. And it's just the silliest business ever. And that's been something that's been really nice to sort of tune out with a little bit.
Maybe I'll switch to that and try to give it a shot.
Yeah.
But I just started watching The Borgias, and it's like already just that I don't want to see incest on TV. I just don't. Even if they're actors, you know, it just grosses me out.
Oh, wouldn't it be terrible if they were brother and sister actors?
Ew.
Playing brothers and sisters? Ew. Yeah. Too gross. Yeah.
Too gross. And like the father too, like
the Pope Alexander.
Yeah, so gross,
disgusting.
I read a lot of books about the Italian Renaissance, and
I just don't want to see it.
Yeah, it's worse on TV, and especially because they like cast Lucrezia as like super young, and like her dad's all.
It's a Netflix show.
Yeah. It's yucky.
It's gross.
I think it was on Showtime or something, but it's on Netflix.
No, I haven't been able to watch anything more upsetting than The Crown, honestly. Like, right. I've tried so many things, and then I'll just shut them off when it gets too dark. Like, I'll try to watch a police procedural or something like that. I'm like, nope, someone died. Bye. Yeah. Thank you.
Rain is quite violent. There's a lot of beheadings and gore and stuff, but it's very... It's the CW, so it's, like, a lot more cheesy. And it's just, like, it's just sexy teens, basically. Like, they're all, like, in their early 20s Australians.
Teens.
Who, like, you know, they're all in French court, and so everyone's just, like, making out with everybody else. And they're
all,
Frenching?
Like...
Yeah.
That's where it was invented.
So it's pretty, pretty fluff as well. And it's, like, I really love Mary Queen of Scots, like, the story of her and everything, but...
So this is obviously a super accurate interpretation.
No, it's so funny. I was talking to our friend Luna, who's, like, she's Scottish and really into history, and I was like, oh, man, the show is so cheesy. Like, the whole thing about, like, Francis, the Dauphin of France or whatever, who she married him, and then he died of an ear infection or something like that, and he was apparently, like...
Dumb baby.
He was apparently really sickly and kind of weak and, I think, disabled in some way as well in his legs or something like that. But then he's, like, of course, this, like, handsome blonde actor. And the way that they got around that was, like, oh, I just had... It was a really bad painter painted my portrait. So that's why I looked, like, a sickly, weak, whatever, because I just had a bad artist.
That's funny.
Oh, my so God. Dumb.
That made me think... That makes me think of a comedian's joke that, you know, it's always good to repeat people's jokes, but Sophie Buttle, who's a Vancouver comic, who talks about how, you know, if you were a lady in the past and it was time for your portrait to be painted, the king would be like, all right, we're going to get the best portrait painter in the land. Well, not, like, the best one, right? Like, you want your cellulite and stretch marks to be softened. So I don't want the best painter. I just thought that was really funny. But, like, a really shitty painter would really ruin your history, pretty much. Be like, oh, remember how his one eye was, like, twice the size of his other eye?
Well, that accurate portrait of Churchill and the crown that he burned.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That's apparently, it looked too much like him, and he was not...
Because
he was
80
like,
years old, and it had, like, multiple strokes. He's like... Yeah. what he seemed to say.
I curate. I'm like, that's not what I look like. This is what I look like. So.
Yeah.
Before you put pictures online, you mean? Or?
Well, definitely for that, but even just in my own mental image of myself.
Yeah, like, don't like that. That can go over there.
Yeah, no, I feel that, for sure.
I wish I always looked in pictures like I do in my mirror.
Exactly.
Because I look so good in my mirror.
I know, and then you try to take a picture of yourself in your mirror, and it doesn't work.
It's just, like, everything's melted and horrible. God, I've gotten a little bit more relaxed about other people taking pictures of me, because any pictures taken of me on stage are from, like, 3 feet below me, which is the best angle, is the anti-MySpace angle.
Right, exactly.
It's great, so I have so much more chin than I think I do.
Mm.
Just like
just from that angle.
Just blah, blah, blah,
blah, blah. Well, it's one of the inherent benefits of being short because that
yes.
ideal angle is most people's regular perspective height. Of you.
It's tough to be
yeah.
tall guy McGee over here. I somehow get by. Yeah, I mean, I it's not like me to rewatch TV shows that much. I kind of get when I already know what's going to happen, I get pretty bored.
Yeah.
But like, I'm probably in my third or fourth watch through of the first three seasons of Brooklyn Nine-Nine, which is really, it's just very soothing. It's weird. I don't really like cops, so I don't know why I like the show so much.
Because they're all such sweeties.
Yeah. I just really like Terry Crews.
Mm-hmm.
He's the best.
I'll have to give it a try. I'm looking for something. I'm watching really... Deep Space Nine right now.
Ooh. Oh! I could go with a rewatch of Deep Space Nine.
Really? Yeah, it's my favorite television show ever.
Run through... I've seen, when growing up, I would see episodes, like,
yes.
randomly,
mm-hmm.
but then this is more systematic.
So. It's a super, like, serialized show in yeah. terms of, like, it actually, you have to watch all of them kind mm-hmm. of in
exactly.
order,
yeah.
unlike TNG, where you could kind of just drop in anywhere and
that's
get
right.
what's going on. Like,
yeah.
there's a real arc
yeah.
to DS9, which is, I'm obsessed with it.
Yeah.
I lit up when you mentioned it just
oh,
now.
Ed hasn't seen it, and he really wants to, so I'm like, ooh, rewatch,
oh, yeah.
That's great.
Yeah.
That's, like, a big part of, like, why Bob and I are friends, even. Oh. It's just because we both like the same kind of music in a lot of ways, but also just that we always have Star Trek stuff. So he would used to have Star Trek showings at his old apartment, and like nice. 10, 15 people would go over and just like eat pizza and watch Star Trek, and it was
nice.
The best. We'd like pick the best episodes yep. to watch. It's like, let's not watch the one that makes me cry like a little bitch from DS9.
Aww. And he learned Klingon for your wedding.
Yeah, he did a speech in Klingon at my wedding.
I think I saw a video of that.
It's incredible.
That's pretty nice.
It was one of the most generous things anyone's ever done for me. Is fake learned fake languages.
Yeah.
Just to make me laugh. Ah, ah, ha, ha, ha. That's his Klingon laugh.
Oh, that's great.
It was really good. Yeah, I have a picture of me with General Martok and Chancellor Gowron that's
nice.
Really quite amazing.
Yeah.
They're in their full costume.
Amazing.
Yeah, it was amazing. I have to maybe put that up, or if I haven't put it up with
I think
an episode
you have,
before.
I think you have.
Yeah,
I
get very excited about it.
Like that's exciting.
You just put it on a t-shirt and wear only that for the rest of my life. Just like, ask me about the time. I hung out with a Star Trek.
Didn't you say that like there was a breakfast buffet or something?
There
and
was.
Then it was like, this tiny box of cereal has no honor.
These cornflakes have no honor. It was great. You paid $40 to go and have breakfast with the Klingons in their full Klingon regalia.
That's amazing.
And they just walked around like, stabbing tiny boxes of cereals at the Continental Breakfast with their ceremonial daggers
oh,
and tearing
amazing.
Them open and scattering
the fucking cereal. Here in the city?
Yeah, it was at the Sheraton Wall Center.
Oh my
god. It was a trip. I had such a good time.
Oh, I would love to go
oh, that nerd
something
shit.
Like that. That
it was good.
Incredible.
Mm-hmm. It was good. Yeah, DS9 is my absolute favorite. So, how far are you into it?
We're watching season 6 right now.
Oh, wow. It's like well in.
Yeah,
nice.
Well, I'm a binge watcher, so.
Hey, that's the best way to go about things.
Yeah, me
yeah.
too.
I mean, it's probably terribly unhealthy, but I did the same thing for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, I haven't watched that in I haven't watched that in a while, and I would really like to watch it again. It's comforting, even though it's kind of a hard show in comparison, because, like, bad stuff happens. Like, they're
and
in a war.
It makes me angry sometimes. Like, sometimes I don't like how certain characters are, like, handled, or how they treat other characters, or who gets in trouble for what shit and who doesn't.
Yeah.
Sometimes I'm like, that wasn't
that's
fair.
Injustice.
You shouldn't be forgiven so easily when so-and-so had to go to jail for...
I'm curious.
Yeah, who?
Who's this?
But what if someone else hasn't seen it?
Spoiler alert.
Yeah.
From
for a show that's like fucking 15 years old.
Well, okay, so when Captain Sisko is dating the freighter captain...
Yep.
And she's, like, smuggling,
mm-hmm.
but the Star Trek guy is converted to the Resistance, and he is also arranging those medical supplies. Eddington,
yeah.
He's, like, Sisko is enraged with him and has, like, this personal vendetta for years trying to catch him, put him in jail, but then the merchant freighter goes to jail for 6 months and comes back, and he's like, I love you. I missed you. And he was so moralistically high groundy over the other guy.
Actually, that's fair. Come
mm-hmm.
to think of it, that was pretty much the same deal.
He
was so mad at Eddington.
Yeah.
He was like his goddamn Moby Dick.
Yeah.
He's Captain Ahabbing him really hard.
Who's Captain Ahabbing who?
Captain Sisko is being like Captain Ahab chasing the white whale.
No,
much.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And it's like he becomes obsessed with this guy. It's too much. And then,
yeah.
Like in.
Why don't you just like draw a picture of you kissing him?
Yeah,
you want to.
Exactly. Clearly. So, yeah, and then other similar moments where I'm just like, no, that's not how.
Yeah, there's unfairness in that show, which it doesn't come up into. TNG is more utopian, I think, in a lot of ways, and I think that's why a lot of people don't like DS9. They're like, it's dark, they don't go anywhere, nothing happens. I'm like, so much fucking happens.
Yeah.
Just pay attention. I really liked getting to see things that weren't just the Borg.
Yeah.
You know, like the very interesting concept. I love the Borg is a really scary, but after a while, like, that's why I didn't like Voyager very much, because, like, I've already been scared. I've seen the movies from TNG. Yeah. Like, I've seen all of TNG. Yeah. So they've explored pretty much everything that's interesting there for me. And so when they came back to, like, more human-type conflicts, you know, like, it's more individuals against individuals and the more complexity of, like, motivation. And, and like, Gul Dukat is my favorite Star Trek villain of all time.
There's so many reversals, too. Like,
he's such a complicated character. Yeah. And I just love watching him. And I love the Cardassians. Yeah. They're so, I don't know. They're just, it's such a great show. Ah, I love it. I love it.
It's a good time. It's a very good time. It's
and just really Garak and Julian Bashir.
I love them. There, that's my
Julian
OTP.
Drives me nuts.
He's so
I
annoying.
I can't handle him.
He's such a shithead. He's beautiful, though.
So pretty.
He looks really good now that he's aged up a bit, because he was a little tiny baby in that show.
Oh,
and
yeah?
Now he's like, he was in Game of Thrones.
Oh, right.
Yeah,
the Dornish
guy. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. He looks good with that little scraggly beard.
Into it.
Yeah. Alexander Siddig.
And Alexander Siddig on his face? What?
Siddig on his face. Siddig's actually his first name. I read his name is like Siddig Al-Fadil, but that was a little bit too Muslimy for America.
Oh, really?
Go figure. Huh. So he's like, I'll just be Alexander Siddig then.
Okay.
He has like this like super long 15-name.
Right.
Which is pretty cool. Mm-hmm. It'd be really hard to fill in a form.
Yeah.
Not enough boxes.
I guess maybe names will get shorter the more bureaucratic our society gets.
Do you think?
Just numbers.
My name is just blurp.
Yeah.
Just a sound effect.
Yeah.
Just an emoji.
That's exactly where I was going with it.
Hello, my name is Winky Face Emoji. That's actually quite a mouthful. So.
Mine is Poo with Eyes.
I like that one.
It's alive.
Live poop coming right out. I'm so sorry.
You looked at me like I was so gross for saying jobby earlier.
Oh, I don't know what's wrong with me. Yes, I do. I remember somebody saying something about, like, we're receding back to hieroglyphics, basically. Mm-hmm. Like, language is becoming more pictorial, but, like, is that more accessible, maybe? Cross-cultural?
I don't know.
Emojis?
I don't know. I like having more ways to communicate.
Yeah.
See about the texting thing. Tess and I were talking about that last night, about how, what our hierarchy of preferred communication methods are.
Yeah, I did that at work as, like, an exercise when you first, like, hire a new person. Like, you know, for urgency's sake, like, what do you prefer first? And then how do you escalate it?
Yeah.
You know, like, you know, I would rather get an email for everything, but if it's, like, really urgent, then text me and then maybe call me. You know?
Yeah, or with friends, I if you want to chat on the phone, text me first.
Yeah.
So you can psych yourself up.
So we can, like, have a conversation
that's
planned as opposed to, like, I don't know if you were just calling for a quick favor or if you suddenly were going to be engaging.
Yeah. Also, I just think someone died, so.
Yeah.
Heads up
too.
First, like, I'm going to call. Nothing's wrong. My parents have started doing that with me, which is really
nice.
Oh, that's nice.
That's very considerate.
Yeah. They still leave me voicemails, though, so they're dead to me. Just kidding. I love them. But what we figured out was our favorites were pretty much on par. She does a lot of video chatting with her friends from far away, and I don't like video chatting. So we realized, like, okay, what we like the best is, like, heartfelt emails is top.
Yeah, those are good.
Mm-hmm. Or a letter, I guess, but, like, an email is more practical. IM, so instant messaging, then text messaging, then video chatting, then talking on the phone.
Yeah.
or like, I don't know, blood necromancy communication and then talking on the phone probably is more accurate.
Yeah.
I hate the phone. God.
I saw a tweet that was like, everyone's calling their state representatives now, like, and encouraging people to call their congress people and all that. And it's like, you know, things are bad if millennials are making phone calls. You
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Shit.
Hey, that's, I like that, actually. That's a good thesis.
Yeah.
You know things are bad when.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, Lord.
Yeah.
Do we all need a nap?
Yeah, I think we do. Let's go maybe get some fried chicken or something like that.
All right.
And We'll see you guys next week. I hope everybody's all cozy in their little November cocoons.
Your little November nest.
And,
'cause it's hard to hold a candle in the cold November rain.
Beautiful.
Thank you.
See you next week.